Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is Attorney Penny Dean.
All right, coming up, Attorney Penny Dean with Second Amendment Tuesdays, 1-866-823-1077. Ask about your Second Amendment rights. Thank you, Riley Sports Shop, for making this possible today here on Bulldog Live.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077. Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can find them on the DW Highway in Hooksett, as well as Riley'sGuns.com. 485-5000 for a huge selection of stuff in stock. Let me tell you, Penny, I was in there last week, and boy, oh boy, do they do have a good stock going in there. How are you today?
I am fine. Yeah, every time I go there, it's very bad. I walk out with my arms full.
That's beautiful.
You can't not. You go into and you always find something new, and I go, I should have that. I should have that. You know, like somebody else has that. I should have that.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, so you're back with us this week here on Bulldog Live, and quite a few things to get to.
Oh, my God. The first is, a friend of mine sent me an email page about Bob Mundin, and Bob Mundin was, you know, known by some as the fastest gun who ever lived. And
okay.
He was an exhibition shooter. And Bob Mundin, anybody, I'm kind of a, you know, I'm a girl that reads the dictionary. People laugh at that. You know, I read the Guinness Book of World Records. I read all these weird things where you learn stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Mundin, and I wondered, I got thinking about this, and I said, you know, they used to have all these shooting records in the Guinness Book of World Records. And all of a sudden, they just seemed to have disappeared. And so I was,
really?
Yeah. And I'm going, wait a minute, do people quit shooting? like there's still skiers, and there's still balloonists, and there's still the world's longest mustache and the longest fingernails, and you know, all these silly things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, did people quit shooting? And so on Bob Mundin's website, he has a little blurb explaining what happened. And according to Bob, in 1981, the year most shooting records disappeared from the Guinness Book, he called David Baum of Sterling Publishing Company, who publishes the Guinness Book, and says, why? And Mr. Baum told Bob that there's a committee that approves books to be used in school libraries across the nation. The committee informed Mr. Baum that it would only approve the Guinness Book for continued use as a reference book in school libraries if gun records were removed.
Oh, my goodness.
That's horrible. That censorship, it's just horrible. And it's horrible because our kids are not seeing those type of things now, okay? They're not seeing...
It's just trying to remove reality once again.
Well, they're trying to really mold them in what I call a socialist form, okay? To protect the Guinness Book from a blacklist, that's what the publishing company felt it had to do. If you look at recent additions to the Guinness Book of World Records, you notice that the gun records by shooters using real firearms are no longer listed, including those set by Annie Oakley, Ed McGivern, Tom Fry, and Bob Mundin. And it's a shame that a small group of people on this education committee really, they probably grew up on cities, and they have changed what our children look at. And so I've sent an email off to several of my friends in education, and here is what I said to them. I said to them, we need to get some people on the committee, and anyone who's listening knows about this committee. I don't even know the name of the committee, where it meets, how they're appointed, or anything about it. We need to get people on this committee because our kids need to see everything, and for this committee to have made such a far-reaching decision for the Guinness Book of World Records is just absolutely huge. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, really sad. you know.
Trying to whitewash history is what it sounds like to me.
That's exactly right.
Let's just ignore that like it doesn't even exist and nobody will be any wiser to it.
I think that's kind of like ostriches. They're very famous for doing that. If they don't see it, it doesn't exist, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here on Bulldog Live with Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley's Gun Shop in Hooksett. And lots of I'm wondering, Penny, back to this committee real quick. You emailed some people you know in the education industry, shall I call it. When do we get gun owners on these committees?
That's exactly a good question. And here's what I tell firearm owners. They absolutely have to do this. And there are different committees, and I know it's boring to sit on boards. And I sit in these committees, and I go, goodness help me, I can't take another hour of this, let alone another minute of this. We have to do that to shape our future and our children's future, though. We do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line is we absolutely have to do this. And what else are you going to do? You have to fight the fight.
Exactly. All right. Well, speaking of fights, there's been a lot of fights going on in the New Hampshire legislature. No session this week. Everybody's in committee of conference on any number of things. And we certainly know that there's been lots of firearm related legislation that has, well, been passed by the House, but retained by the Senate and then going forward in this and that and that. What's happening? Where do we stand right now?
Well, what's important to me and to firearm owners are things like SB 88 and HB 210 and 378. HB 210 and 378 should have been passed as is. Okay, and let me tell you what happened.
And what do those bills relate to?
We have the what I call the Ward Bird bill.
Uh huh. Was that Betsy Patton's bill? That particular
Betsy
one.
Betsy Patton's bill.
Okay.
Betsy Patton's bill needed to be passed as is, where is, how is. You know, like any bill, it's not perfect, but it was pretty darn good. And I think it would have, you know, saved a lot of people a lot of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, which was the minimum mandatory, and then, of course, we have what some people call Castle or the pointing issue. And what the representatives have tried to do, particularly Representative Welch, keeps pulling pointing out or encouraging people to pull pointing out of everything. So it just says brandishing or displaying. Well, brandishing and displaying aren't the problem. Pointing is the problem.
Right.
You know, in other words, when people get accused of pointing, that's when all what I call the trouble begins.
Well, and that, whether they've pointed it or not, because just look at this Ward Bird situation. Ward Bird said, and he even said it at the pardon hearing before the executive council, I did not point a gun at the woman, the trespasser.
Yep.
I didn't do it. I never did that. And, you know, he was very passionate about the events that transpired. But
yep.
She said, he pointed the gun at me. And, you know, there we go. So
yes.
So you really wouldn't fix anything if you take pointing out of it.
Right. That's exactly right. Because every case that we see like that, somebody says, he pointed it, even if he didn't. Okay.
Right.
And I've had cases later.
He said, she said.
Right. And I've had cases later where they even admit, well, he didn't point it at me, but I saw it. But they said pointed it, and that's why we're in the middle of trial. And even, you know, the way the current law is displaying or whatever, they simply charge with it. So those are huge issues. But let me tell you what's really insulting to me is GONH sent out a Minuteman alert to the members, to all the senators, to say, look it. Pass these bills. And some senators wrote back and said, oh, we can't do anything about them now. That's absolutely not true. Mason's rules have a procedure where they can take it off the table and pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're doing is they're being disingenuous with the voters. They're going, oh, it's procedure. We can't do anything. And my answer was, so I went into Mason's manual, which is the manual for legislative committees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've outlined all the procedures for each thing. And so I'm going to put them out in emails. And so next time some rep or senator sends their constituents, oh, it's past the time. We can't do anything. I'm going to have them ready to send back and say, well, gee, here's the procedure. Now are you going to do something?
Yeah, really.
You know, maybe you're not educated and maybe you didn't know the procedure. So now that you know the procedure, please tell me what you're going to do.
Penny, I've seen bills taken off the table just as recently as this session of the legislature. It can be done. They know it can be done.
Right. They do this, certain reps and senators, because they don't have the courage to tell their constituents the truth, which is that they don't want to support the bill or they want to kill a bill or they want to do something different. And so they do that as a way to get around their constituents. In other words, they go, you know, I do something except for I can't.
Right. Yeah, or I like the part where they send it back to committee for study.
Yeah.
That's even more insulting. But anyway, that's another issue.
Exactly. And what they're doing with SB 88, SB 88 is a very important bill. They've cut and pasted different portions. That bill started out as a blouse, and now it's a pair of socks and shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But it still could be a very useful garment.
This is where they bring in the Stand Your Ground, the Ward Bird, as well as the Right to Carry.
Right.
All in one bill.
They've melded them all into one bill. Now, here we have the good and the bad. It still needs to be fixed. But the really sad thing is the NRA offered an amendment which was very fine for gun control. Horrible piece of crap work. They've offered another one which got worse.
Oh, they didn't learn their lesson the first time.
No. And so the bottom line is the first one was a horrible, horrible piece. And it turns out I had a phone conversation with the NRA attorney who's responsible for this. And I looked through my records this morning to find his name, and gal darn, I can't find it. But I had a phone conversation with him. Used to be a federal prosecutor, talks like a cop, walks like a cop, acts like a cop. And he tells me about all this legislation that, of course, all these laws that currently prohibit us from doing certain things in New Hampshire. And I said, there's no such laws. Well, there has to be. I said, well, I'm pretty sure there isn't. So he added them to the most recent version that they proposed.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And so I said,
watch out, someone's going to blame you.
That's my fault. Don't have an intellectually honest conversation with those boys, okay? Yeah, you're right. Actually, I thought about that later. I thought, you want me to tell you what?
That's why I bite my tongue about anything that deals with money and these legislators. You never know who's going to listen and say, hey, well, Bulldog said I could get money if I did this kind of a tax, you know?
Oh, man. Well, you know what? He was like, that can't be right. And I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure they are. Did you even read the law before you start put pen to paper here? You know, and people don't, because here's the bottom line I tell them, is that we don't need laws that look like Massachusetts or New Jersey. And that's what this proposed amendment looks like. It looks like it came from Massachusetts or New Jersey. And we all know what a great bastion of freedom and firearm laws Massachusetts and New Jersey are, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we want to emulate, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what I thought. And so what I think people need to be doing is calling the members of the conference committee, and it's on the website, because there are so many committees of conference, I don't want to take up airtime listing the members of each one. But the bottom line is, and tell them that, look, we don't need gun control in New Hampshire. What we need is plain, simple, you know, GONH had offered, and the New Hampshire Firearms Coalition offered a joint amendment that was plain, simple, short, sweet, to the point, which basically removed the licensing requirement and kept it as an optional thing, which is really what I think it would be, because there's people like me who would still option to have a license for a variety of reasons if we removed the licensing provisions in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Because I personally am not confident that you would have the reciprocity you want and need without a state license.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, we really, really, I think, need, and there's nothing wrong with the, well, I shouldn't say, there are some things wrong with the licensing system we have. It needs some improvement. But
well, that's the people running it, not the actual law so much.
Right. No, you're exactly right. It's the people running it and how it's run. And that's huge. The NRA amendment had two huge things in it. Number one, for foreigners, a foreign person in certain instances can go into a gun store and with a 4473 purchase a firearm. Okay?
Okay.
And there's all sorts of limited, this has to happen, okay? They want all sorts of additional proof at the sole discretion of the chief. Now, here's my thought. Even with very strict licensing parameters in New Hampshire, we've had huge problems with chiefs and licensing. You're going to give them a blank check?
Right.
Okay, and part of this new proposed amendment had a portion where the Department of Education was allowed to make administrative rules that were going to have the force of law, and the rules aren't made yet, but we're writing it into law.
Why would the Department of Education have anything to do with this?
Guns in schools for our children. You're worried about the children, aren't you?
I thought we already have that taken care of.
We're going to make it a belt, suspenders, and two pair of belts. We want to be really sure.
Oh, I see.
And we want to prosecute the teachers who work there as well, in addition to
nobody in their right mind takes a gun into a school these days.
Well, the problem is, in other states, you perfectly can with a license to carry.
Uh-huh.
Because it keeps things much safer.
Well, I don't disagree. I'm just saying.
In New Hampshire, it's just that our law is written in a gray area. You know
that's
what I mean?
Why nobody in their right mind would take a gun into a school in New Hampshire.
Yeah, because they don't want to be the test case about whether or not the law says this or the law says that.
Bingo.
That's exactly. You know, and by school, you're talking primary and secondary, not colleges.
Mm-hmm. Where you are allowed.
Yes. You know, it's a whole different breed of cat. And so the bottom line is, in this particular case, I think people need to be really looking at what's happening there as far as, you know, we talk about Ward Bird. All of those things are going on this week. And now here's what people may or may not understand. These committees of conference are meeting. You can't speak before the committees of conference, mm-hmm. but you can go there and you can audio and videotape them and report back what is said. And if you're in the room, the committee of conference has a right to ask any person for their advice and to speak if they choose to invite them. So if you're a person with expertise, it's worth going to these hearings because sometimes you will have something come out of it where, you know, something good will come out. They'll pull some expertise. They'll pull some education. They'll pull some, you know, information that wasn't otherwise available. But the good news is Peter Bragdon, the Senate president, has said enough of this stuff. He's not going to stand for the nonsense of some of the gun control that came out of the House, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Well, Penny, I want people to go check out the legislative updates on Gun Owners of New Hampshire website so they can find out more about this committee of conference process.
Yes, it's very, very interesting, and a lot of people don't understand it. And unfortunately, for the time we have left, I can't go into and explain it to people. But it's basically the Speaker and the Senate President choose members of these committees. And they get together to try and iron out differences in similar bills that the House and the Senate have passed. And I think it's really worthwhile for people to understand the process because a lot of people don't. And, you know, sometimes things get through. This is worse than sausage.
Yes, and I've been to that sausage factory a few times this year, too.
Yeah, and it's like, what the heck is happening? Now, the other thing is that people need to keep up the emails, the faxes, and the calls to ask their senators and the reps and tell them, go to GoNH's website and do what they say type thing. Because a lot of these bills, without having a long discussion with some of the senators and reps, really require a lot of explanation. So it's simpler at this point to say, look, we trust GoNH, do what they say.
All right.
Know, that's really the simple answer. But a lot of people still also need to know that none of this is going to happen right away. In other words, people think it's going to be enacted and tomorrow morning everything's going to change. It will probably have an effective date of 60 days out or some.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And regardless, I think we're going to have to worry about a gubernatorial veto.
There you go. Well, Penny, with that, I've got to run. Again, how do people get in touch with you if they have any further questions on this?
230-9999.
All right. And thank you, Penny Dean, for also sponsoring this week's Moose Lottery radio broadcast that we'll be doing Friday live from New Hampshire Fish and Game. And hope to see you there as well.
Maybe I'll win.
Good. Yeah, I hope so. All right. Take care, Penny.
Yep.
Have a great week. Bye-bye. All right. And thanks again to Riley Sports Shop on the DW Highway in Hooksett for making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible right here on Bulldog Live. You can visit them at rileysguns.com. And also, you can call them at 485-5000. Very easy to find. And a lot of stuff in there. Very easy to find as well, with probably the most extensive selection I have seen so far in New Hampshire.